catch you up. For those of you who don't remember or who weren't here last week, let me get you caught up, all right? We did Joshua, we just did Judges, now we're in Ruth. We're not doing that on purpose. We're not necessarily walking through the Scripture, but that's the way they come in the Bible, and that's what we've been doing. Partly because that's where our church is, partly because that's what God laid on my heart or the hearts of others, partly because it works with the season of our church, it works with the season of politics, it works with the season of Christmas, all right? So I've been really excited. We had a great time last week. If you didn't get caught up, you can listen last week. But this is what chapter 1 of Ruth looks like, all right? Everybody's done their thing in the book of Judges, and they're all doing what's right in their own eyes, and they moved into the land of Canaan, and things aren't going well, and the judges are trying to lead them, but they don't have a king, and there comes a famine, all right? There comes a famine, like 10 years, no rain, no nothing, no grain, no food, everything's bad, and there's this guy named Elimelech, and Elimelech and his wife Naomi are trying to figure out how to feed their family. Now God has said, you need to be where I am and I'll provide for you. But right next door in Moab, it's raining, things are good. So it's like, do I feed my family or do I listen to God? Now those are those things that are hard. How can good things not be God things? I don't know. I don't blame the man. I don't blame the man for trying to provide for his family. So Elimelech goes to Moab, but he goes over to a place where there are other gods, okay? And he takes his family over there where they are strangers in a strange land, okay? Maybe not the best of choices, but he gets over there and something unexpected happens. He dies. He dies, leaving his wife and sons there, all right? His sons also make a choice that's not right in line with what God does, and they marry two Moabite women, all right? And then they die. Now, they don't die because they marry Moabite women, all right? But they do pass away, all right? So now you have mother and two daughter-in-laws in a place where if you don't have a man, you are not going to survive. This is not a sermon about the authority of men, okay? This is not a sermon about how awesome we are and women are not. This is a fact. Back in that time, everything revolved around the men and the sons and the bloodlines that were passed down. And you provided for your family. This will come into play later. And you provided for the furthering of your family to keep your family line going. And you provided the field in which your family would work and the home in which your family would live. And it was passed down from father to son, father to son. This is how we work. This is how we live. This is how we believe. And the women were cared for by the men, the sons, the daughter, cared for. And you married into a family and they overtook and took care of you and covered you, all right? They were in a foreign land with no men, with no job, with no way to take care of themselves, okay? They're lost. They're out there. The sins of the father have been passed down to the son, and they are not having it well, okay? Now, the famine ends, and Naomi hears about it ending, and she goes back. This is important. She goes back to where Elimelech was from, Bethlehem, okay? On her way back, we find that both her daughters-in-laws love her. They care for her, and they really want to go with her. She looks at them, and she says, no, 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 no. First of all, I came here, and this was all brought on me, but you married into this. If you stay here, at least there's a dad, a granddad, there's a man's line somewhere that's going to be able to take care of you, all right? And so one of them says, yes, you're right. Thank you, Mom. I'm going to stay. And she goes back. But the other daughter named Ruth, daughter-in-law, says no. In fact, no so heavily that I'm not only going to stay with you, all right? I'm going to be a part of your family with no bloodlines to show for it. I am going to live in your land where nobody will accept me, not as a Moabite or as a woman, and I am going to believe in the God that you serve no matter where we live. She gives a great speech. Your God will be my God and your people will be my people. It's heavy. It's awesome. So she goes back to Bethlehem and these two ladies show up in town. One of them a foreigner. Neither of them any men to show for, ran away from God and from their people to find food, and now they're back, and the rumor mill begins. Oh, look who it is. Oh, stop. That's where we are. We're going to look at the last couple verses, and then we're going to move on through chapter 2. Today, we're going to talk about character. The type of people God uses. The type of people that God infuses. The type of people that maybe you and I want to be in God's system, in God's kingdom, in the bloodlines of God's redemptive story. You cannot forget that these four little chapters do not simply connect Judges to the rest of the story of Israel. Okay? They don't. These four little chapters, 1,500 to 2,000 years prior to Jesus, are a story of the redemption of a family, the story of the redemption of a country, and the story of the redemption of all of mankind. These four chapters connect the world to Jesus, and His name never appears in the text. It's an unbelievable story. And we're going to begin to see how God moves from one situation to another situation today. Here's the situation. All right, I feel like I ought to be on Will Smith. You know, okay, here's the situation. All right, you know, but here's what happened. That's old school. Some of you are like, I don't remember that. I'm showing my age. Okay. Naomi comes back and she goes, yes, people, here I am. And I hear you asking, is that Naomi? Is she back? Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me, and she literally says, call me bitter. Because I am. I am bitter. God has not shown favor on me. I've lost my husband. I've lost my sons. I've lost my bloodline. I'm back. I'm an outcast. And just I am. God has not shown favor on me. He does not like me anymore. This is my situation. What we don't understand, what she doesn't understand, is how incredibly wrong she is. She's right to feel distraught. She's right to feel burdened. I'm not saying that. But when she's wrong when it comes to how God sees her and what God wants for her. Has anybody ever seen the movie The Sixth Sense? How many of you seen it? Raise your hand so I know. For the rest of you, spoiler alert, okay? If you saw the last 2 minutes of The Sixth Sense, would the rest of the movie be worth it? Why not? Because everything that makes that movie happens in about the last 30 seconds. When you find out what you find out at the end, it makes the rest of the movie. You're like, oh, and you're going back through to see what you missed. All right? We have the luxury here in our day and age of knowing the end of the story before we read through these. Okay? Sometimes that takes away from the movie. That takes away from the power of the scripture. Let me explain. The story in chapter 2 is better if we look at it from the standpoint of Ruth, the Moabite, who comes into a land to make decisions and only look at the story by what she knows. She doesn't know what happens in Matthew. She doesn't even know what happened before. She's not from here. We have to look at the story in its awesomeness from the perspective of what Ruth actually knows, okay? So let's do that. Here we go. Naomi says to the people around her, hush, God has it out for me. I know I'm supposed to have faith in Him, but boo, boo, boo. The Princess Bride, anybody? Boo. All right, that is Naomi. She's bitter. Another preacher I was listening to called her Eeyore. Situation. We can go and holler out to God and maybe He'll you know, Christmas time and drop some grain down the chimney, okay? Or we can actually do what we're capable of doing. Let me stop and say, I have a stance on something. I think we ought to help people. I think we ought to give to people. I think we ought to love people. But I also think we ought to teach people to be like Naomi. Naomi didn't stand at her door and say, give me. Naomi went out and said, it is the harvest season, which is the last verse of chapter 1. So there is harvest out there, and I'm not going to get free food. I'm going to go work for my food. I'm not making a public pronouncement here. I'm not getting political. I am saying, if you hand somebody a fish, they'll eat for a day. If you teach them to fish, they'll eat for a lifetime. I am a huge proponent of helping, but I am not a proponent of helping over and over again somebody who's not willing to help themselves. And this is a biblical principle. Naomi got up off her hindside and she said, Mama, I'm not going to sit here and la 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 and act like Eeyore, all right? I'm more of a Tigger. I'm more of a Winnie the Pooh. Let's go get him. And she says, go ahead. So Naomi goes out to a field, and this was not normal. Sorry. This is not abnormal. Ruth. Naomi says no. Ruth goes out there. Thank you, Mama. Okay. Ruth goes out there, and she's going to work, okay? What she's going to do is they're out cutting the wheat and the grain down, okay? What she's going to do is after the big tractors, there aren't tractors, but think about it like this. The tractors go through the field. There are some pieces of corn, some ears of corn that are missed or that are thrown out. She's going to go back behind them and pick up the scraps, okay? Now, this is a very, very dangerous thing to do. It was a very normal thing, but it was a very dangerous thing to do for several reasons. Reason number one, it was all men working in the fields. And out in the fields, they were far, far away from where anybody could hear them or anybody could see them. And what happened a lot of times was these women would come and they would try to pick things up. And the men would, you know, see them coming up and they'd corner them in the barn. Hey. And y'all, I'm not going to play out the next part, but y'all figured out. You've seen plenty of movies where the hero comes in. And, well, that's kind of what happens here. Now, it doesn't happen to Ruth. She goes, and she's just searching for any field. She doesn't go to Boaz's field. She goes to a field, a random field, and asks. She doesn't have to ask. She could have come at night and gotten it, but she doesn't. She goes and she says, may I? She puts herself out there as a foreigner, as a woman, all alone, and says, I'd like to pick up the scraps. May I? And they allow her to. And so she picks up the scraps. Now this woman, and women weren't known for their physical stature or prowess. This woman works. I want you to look at what happens. She goes to work, okay? Boaz comes back from Bethlehem. The landowner's gone into town, done some business, comes back out. He's checking out everything in the field, and he notices this person trailing behind. And he says, who is that? And the servant said, that is such and such, Ruth. She came back with Naomi. She's been out there since this morning, following us the whole time. She's still out there, and she's had a really little break. Let me translate that for you. This woman is the man. That's what he says. He basically says, we thought she'd last 10 minutes in the hot sun. She ain't stopped yet. She's out working our workers. Now, here's what, this is all about perspective, church. Everything is about how you see it. See, Boaz could have said, yeah, I heard of her. Her mama gave up, ran away, came back, brought bad names into the family. She brought this girl over here. We're not responsible for this girl at all. Let her pick it up and kick her out. Or go ahead and kick her out now. All the talk going around town about this woman and who she is and people talking bad about her. I just don't think I need any of that, you know, dealing with my farm or anything. Would have been fine. Same story Boaz is. I heard her. They said she tagged along with this Naomi. Well, I hear she didn't tag along. She chose the lover. How do I know she chose the lover? Because she didn't ask her to get out in the hot sun with her. She's out here in the hot sun working for her. She's going to take her the food. She's out working my men. She threw herself into a situation that could have seriously damaged her spirit, her soul, and even her body. I don't think the gossip's true, man. This woman is awesome. This woman is a woman of new faith, who's going out on the faith and trusting in God. She is a woman who could have stolen and instead of stealing, asked. This is a woman who could have begged and instead of begging, worked. I kind of like this woman. I tell you what we're going to do. Don't let her pick up the scraps. If you have an extra piece that's a good piece, go ahead and toss it out so that she can pick it up. You know, when you're going through the good stuff, drop a good one every once in a while so she can grab one. Not only that, tell her she can work here any day she wants, whenever she wants. Not only that, and when it comes to lunchtime, tell her where I'll be. She can come eat lunch with me. And they bring out this roasted grain that he has, and the Bible says she ate till she was full. And then she put some away. She put some away. Now, I don't know how many people are always thinking about their bitter stepmother, but she was, her bitter, mean mother-in-law, who was at home doing nothing. She thought of her when the good stuff came in. She saved the good stuff for mom and took it back to her. Boaz says, this is the kind of person I want. You see, Boaz was a man of discernment. He didn't listen to the crowd. He listened to his heart. Boaz was a man of honor. He had just gone through 10 years of nothing. He was poor. I want you to think about that for a minute. If you were poor and broke and couldn't pay the bills and had nothing for 10 years, would you be the kind of person within a few months who was giving away things that you had to other people? Boaz is a generous man. Boaz is a discerning man. Boaz is a respected man. You know what else he said? He said, don't you touch her. And you tell everybody who's working in the field not to touch her. She will not come on my property and worry about her safety, sexually, physically, mentally, or otherwise. He was a powerful gentleman. Ruth was courageous. Ruth was steadfast. Ruth was faithful. Ruth was honorable. And when these things happen, listen. Boaz said, listen to me, my daughter. Don't blow and glean in any other field. Don't go away from here. You can stay with my servant girls. You can watch where the men are harvesting and follow with my girls. I've told the men not to touch you. When you're thirsty, you drink where they drink. When you're hungry, you eat where I eat. She bowed down with her face on the ground. She was a humble woman. Bowed down with her face on the ground and said, why do you show favor to me, a foreigner? Boaz said, I've been told about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father, your mother, your homeland, came to live with the people you did not know. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. I believe in the God you have chosen, and I believe if I stand for what the God you have chosen stands for, that he will show you favor, he will show me favor. And if the only favor you ever see of my God is through me, so be it. What if we had that kind of attitude, church? What if we saw the world that way? If the only favor you see of my God is through me, so be it. What if that was our attitude, church? What if in every situation you knew full well that God wanted to bless everybody you came in contact with because he loves them, he wants to honor them, he wants to encourage them whether they believe in him or not. And so if you knew that the only way God could bless them was through you, you would do it. That's what Boaz just said. I want to be the kind of man that when a foreigner comes into the land of my God, they don't see people talking bad about them. They don't see people acting like gossips. They don't see people fighting over them. They see what God wants them to see. People of love, people of faith, people of protection, people of kindness, people who will reach out and give. Do you see that, church? Boaz wanted the foreigner to see his God for who he was, not for what she'd experienced when she came to town. And I gotta be honest, that's what I want for you here. That's what I want for you at NBC. We've always said, when I planted a church the first time, when I came here, I want to be a place for people who have had not so good experiences with churches. I want to be a place where people go, man, that place is bitter, that place is angry, that place is political, that place is mean, that they no longer talk about this place like that. I want our community to see what Jesus looks like, not what politics look like. What love looks like, not what voting looks like. What giving looks like, not what taking and tearing down looks like. And I'm sorry, but our churches have lost their way. And they are sending people out and sending people running and hypocritically tearing lives and marriages and ministers apart. And we've got to change that. Boaz was that man. The man who says, I will do it God's way for everyone. That's Boaz. Now Ruth, to him, he was a stranger. And this is where the story takes the godly turn. This is where the story gets fun. You're not going to get all the way there. It's just going to kind of tease it a little bit. Ruth goes back home to Naomi with a half a bushel. Enough wheat for two people for way longer. But she's going to continue to work, and maybe they can sell some of that and get back on their feet, because there's still no man to provide for them a son, to provide for them a bloodline to keep Abimelech's name going. Okay? Here's what happens. Ruth gleaned the field until evening and threshed the barley she had and had about enough fob, and she carried it back to town. Her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. And Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten. And her mother-in-law said, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the place that she worked. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz. Now, y'all need to be sitting at this table. Naomi is bitter and angry, and she's brightened up a little bit because there's food. She's brightened up a little bit because there's a good story. And all of a sudden, she goes, oh, the guy I worked for's name was Boaz. Naomi goes, say, huh? One more time? His name was what? His name was Boaz. Boaz? Oh! Now, listen. She goes from Eeyore to holy mackerel. She says, blessed, blessed the Lord, blessed. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. Woo! She goes from God hates me to praise Jesus. All right? I was listening to another preacher. He said, what do you call a lady who does this? He says, I don't call her anything. I get her some Prozac. Faithful, hardworking, not stealing, wise choosing, servant-hearted girl, and the character lady, God-fearing, not worried about what the public said, not worried about anything but what God said, loving, kind, gentleman, Boaz. And then we find out that Boaz is kin to Elimelech. Alright? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is where the story's going to go next week. There's a little bit of next week. Alright? It's a little bit 50 Shades of Barley. Alright? If you know what I mean. Alright? Not that you should watch that movie or know what it is. But still, there's a little bit of chapter 3 that's a little bit... Okay, so y'all be ready for that. Alright? Also, there's a piece of history that you need so that you can chew on it before next week. In this line of father to son, father to son, father to son, if your husband died and you're not in a foreign land, what is supposed to happen is your brother, your dad, someone in your family marries you. Okay? Marries you so that they can give you a child that will carry on the name. Alright? So Paul and I are brothers. Alright? Paul and I are brothers in the Bible now. And my wife and I die, he takes my wife as a wife so that he can give her children to carry on my name and my land. You do the same thing with your property. If somebody's property is going up for sale and it's going to be removed from the family, a brother, an uncle, a cousin, somebody's supposed to step in and say, no, 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 I'll buy the land and I'll keep it in the family. And when they get back on their feet, they can purchase it back for me to keep it from going somewhere else. Listen to me. The person who comes in and saves the family, saves the bloodline, pays the price, sacrifices for the longevity, is called a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. For all the pain that Naomi's going through, and all the sin that has followed her and knocked her down, she needs to be, listen, redeemed. Set free from the shackles. Taken from where you are into a better place. And it has to be in the bloodline of her family. So, it's in the line of the family. It is redeeming from the situation that you're in. And it is passed down through the generations. Remember those things, people. Because that is why Naomi got excited. Naomi got excited because this man Boaz is a part of the family. And his kindness is not just going to change her life. It's not just going to change the life of all of the Israelites. It's going to change yours. That's why we're heading for Christmas. That's why we went back to Bethlehem. That's what's coming next week. Character changes everything. The story's about to get real. I'm excited. Let's pray. God, thank you for where we are. Thank you for this season. Thank you for the practical things that we can do to love. Now, God, what I'm praying for me this week, what I'm praying for Chris this week, and for Tim this week, and for Bobby this week, what I'm praying for Sarah and Jessica this week, is that we would take a deep breath. Everybody in this room, that we would take a deep breath. And we would ask ourselves about our perspective on life. We would ask ourselves about our perspective on Christmas. We would ask ourselves what really matters. The parties we go to matter? Do the amount of times we attend church matter? Do the amount of money we spend on gifts matter? Or does it matter that somebody's there who wants to love you? Does it matter that somebody's there who wants to be with you? Does it matter that somebody's there who wants to help you? Does it matter that there are people who love you no matter what the world says? No matter what your boss says? No matter what your best friends say? They love you because God loves you. My prayer this week is that we would all take a look at our perspective. And that we would be men and women of character. That we would be men and women who love because God first loved. Men and women who give because God gave to us. Men and women who understand that just simply living in America, simply living in America, puts us in the top 3% of all of the people in the world financially. We have. What are we doing with what we have? More importantly, what are we doing with who we are? Did you hear that? What are you doing with who you are? A child of God. A member of NBC. A part of the family. What are you doing in your work? What are you doing in your play? What are you doing in your marriage? What are you doing with your children? What are you doing in your church? What are you doing to change the world? One person at a time.